Hey everyone, welcome back to High Tea Hoops.
High Tea Hoops.
There you go, Skylar. A little late. It's all right. It's an early morning. This is Brian Beauchet at the Duke of Hoops, and obviously I'm joined by Skylar Smith. What's up, Duchess?
Hello. So excited for today's pod. It's rare that we get some Detroit people on.
I know. I love it. So today we have Jared Umer and Ashton Keys, the co-founders of Athletic. Nailed that one. Welcome on the show, guys.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah, likewise. Very happy to be here.
Super excited to talk. But just to kick us off, you want to tell us a little bit both about your backgrounds? Ashton, why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, so my name is Ashton Keys, born and raised from Detroit, Michigan. Attended Michigan State University. Spartan for life.
Strike one.
Go green, go white. My background is in product management and engineering. And before, starting to work in athletics, I worked at the Rocket Companies and the Dan Gilbert Empire, building the digital products for all of their technologies.
Incredible. Jared?
Yeah, for myself, my name is Jared Umer, of course, co-founder of Athletic, graduate of Florida A&M University, the Florida A&M University, number one HBCU in the world. I gotta add that to my elevator pitch nowadays. My games partnership and everything. Everybody knows about us now. But originally from Brooklyn, New York, and prior to building Athletic with Ashton, I worked in corporate partnership development for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Previously, did some work doing brand partnerships with Roc Nation as well.
Amazing. We'll get it. Like, that seems like the perfect storm of backgrounds to launch Athletic, which we'll get into later. But as a leading question, as a Venture for America shout out, which I was in Venture for America as well, did you two meet through Venture for America? Where did you two hook up?
Yeah, we met at training camp, honestly.
Wow. All right. I want to hear your Venture for America pitch then. What is Venture for America? How did you guys meet? Put you on the spot.
Ashton, you got it.
Yeah, I mean, Venture for America is a two-year fellowship that places, real smart people that's interested in startups.
Super smart, like the smartest
companies,
people.
Kind of like an apprenticeship where you spend 2 years at a startup with the goal to either expand within that company or start your own company. The good thing is things like me and Jared happened where we met during training camp. We knew we had likewise skill sets and we were both interested in sports, and that's kind of how we initially met, where we didn't talk about starting a business. We would just talk about sports all the time. And we would just talk about things that were happening, DM each other all the time, just message each other. And then eventually it just came up to the point where the name, image, and likeness thing was happening. And I was like, this is something, and we should start to look into this as a potential business, because we knew it was going to be huge, but also we knew that it was a big gap. And we just started talking about it, and then I don't even know how the business started. It just was like a conversation that started, and then we look up and we're here. Like, that's literally how it was. Like, it's so crazy to think about, but.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It happens so fast, man.
I know. And before we dive into Athletic more, so Venture for America, you were in Cleveland, Jared, and Ashton, you were in Detroit. So did you do things, and are you at the end of the two-year fellowship, or have you already passed that milestone?
Approaching the end, August 26th was my start date. So essentially, that's kind of like the end of the fellowship. I will say, to Ashton's point, no one fellow's journey is the same. I'm working at an MBA team. He's working at, one of the top mortgage lending companies in the world, but the experience and just having the allyship and the support of the fellowship has been life-changing, I'll say.
Yeah. So did you guys do any of the programs together through VFA, or did this come up outside of kind of those pre-programmed, initiatives that Venture for America puts on?
Yeah, it pretty much was outside of it. But the thing is, I will say my community, VFA was heavily involved from the beginning.
Yeah.
They gave us advice. A lot of our mentors were connected through VFA. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of connections through VFA. So even though it wasn't necessarily with the workshops, I kept them involved from the beginning. And they, been presenting us with the right information and things that we needed throughout the journey. And they still do right now. So,
yeah, I mean, they're so supportive. I met my co-founder at training camp. We started after that 2 year. It really breaks down the barriers of, because starting a company is really scary, as you guys are finding right now. Mm-hmm. And having that community behind you, having the co-founder you've known for 2 years in that same community, even sharing the same values, really helps you. So I think that's a great base to get off of.
Yeah, I'm always kind of jealous of that community that I don't have that, but it's okay.
You can borrow from it, Skylar. That's what we're doing.
I just dip in on Brian's. So we already heard a little bit about why you guys kind of started Athletic. Do you want to kind of give us just your elevator pitch? Like, just give us, what is Athletic?
Yeah, you want to go, or?
I'll let you go. You kick it off.
So Athletic is what we call as like a fully integrated marketplace. And really the goal is we're trying to create a connect student athletes with endorsement partners. So the big problem that we found is with this new market that's opening up that never happened the first time in history, a significant gap. And for student athletes, they spend so much time playing their sport and focusing on school. Like they told us, like literally we spend about 50 to 60 hours a week on our sport in school. So they really don't have the time to go out and look for endorsement partnerships. And the endorsers and the marketers on their side, it's about to be 480,000 student athletes that's going to be open and available to do deals. So they don't have like a partner to help them vet and identify which student athletes should they actually market with, which student athletes should they endorse with. So really we're trying to solve that problem for the gap. We're trying to make student athletes' life simpler so they can keep playing at their sport and focus on that and not lose their, you know, academics, as because we know that's probably something they'll probably give up. So we want them to be high value students, high value athletes, and we want the marketers to be able to find the right partners so that they actually can reach their target markets, which is, you know, the student athlete demographic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a
I'll
great
say
point
too, like at a high level, at the end of the day, what we're looking to do is mitigate cost, time, and risk. If we check all three of those boxes, it's a no-brainer for both athletic administrations, athletes themselves, as well as brands. You know, we're trying to make it easy for them to get partnerships done.
Yeah. Could we just, I feel like we need to kind of just get a kind of shared definition of name, image, and likeness. I feel like it's something that's, it's thrown around so much these days. And I almost wonder like if people are kind of stopping and thinking what those things actually mean, or if it's just kind of these buzzwords now. Could you guys literally just define name, image, and likeness for us?
Name, image, and likeness is pretty much just the right of publicity to monetize who they are. From our research and just like our understanding of athletes in business, athletes are the biggest influencers. You think of the Magic Johnsons of the world that, you know, started Magic Johnson Enterprise and movie theaters, the different restaurants, the Starbucks of the world. You look at Michael Jordan with Nike and what he's built throughout that conglomerate, George Foreman with the George Foreman Grill. These athletes, no matter how
incredible examples.
They are,
I forgot about the George Foreman Grill. I haven't seen one of those in 15 years.
Once you start thinking about it, it's like athletes are the biggest influencers. And you look at how prevalent influencer marketing is to marketing in general right now. You look at the engagement rates of athletes versus, you know, the regular, I don't want to say Kim K because she's not regular, but, you know, people that brands go to amplify their products and their campaigns, athletes are doubling that engagement rate. Mm-hmm. So the thought is they're the biggest influencers. Why can't they make money from this? You know, if they go pro, if they don't go pro, they could come to they could become Jason Derulo if they don't make it to the league. You know, that's our thought process.
Yeah. And just for it to like set the, if people aren't familiar with the NCAA rules, especially in the UK, right now, athletes can't make any money. Give a current state or before this gets initiated.
Yeah. So you can't make, athletes cannot make any money. Cannot accept any type of, you know, monetary payment. Recently, 2020 is when the first law, California was the first state to pass legislation that allowed athletes to, you know, monetize their name, image, and likeness. After that, we have about 6 states that already passed it, and then 33 states currently has it in legislation. So it's looking like pretty much every state across the United States will have a law into effect that allows athletes to pass. 2 states are going to start this July, who we're working to work with right now, which is Mississippi and Florida. So those are the first states that are going online. Those are going to be the first student athletes that can actually make money off their little name, their image, which is who they are and their likeness.
Yeah, it's extremely strict in the NCAA. So I remember a case, I don't know how many years ago, but there was a kicker in NCAA, D1, and he had a popular YouTube channel where he'd do trick shots, trick kicks, and he was just making money from the ad revenue on YouTube. And he had to decide whether he wanted to keep doing that, and they forced him out and he couldn't play on the team anymore just because his YouTube channel was making money. which when you think about that, it's insane. So and that's for anything. That's discounts. So you can't go like get a car with a discount. You can't do anything. So
you can't even
it's
get
tough. Yeah.
If they found out you get like a free meal or something, like they will invest in that. And I mean, we've seen so many amazing athletes, you know, like Reggie Bush and people like even Zion. Zion made so much money for Duke. And I know y'all saw that recent investigation within him because of some benefits that he received. So it's just crazy how much you think about like Duke. President Obama was at the Duke game. Like literally Obama was at a Duke game and he will never go to a Duke game again, probably. But he was there because Zion was there. But they were upset at him because he had, you know, received some type of benefits. But I'm pretty sure he probably tripled or doubled that for university.
Yeah, that's what makes it so crazy is these athletes are bringing in so much money for these universities and then they get nothing in return. They're not even, I know people are like, they get the education, they get to play, you know, but, you know, we think about like, I always grew up with the Chris Webber, like Fab Five example, like they were broke and someone bought them a meal and that was against the rules. Like it is, it's just crazy. So like I have brought up 1 million times in this interview, I went to Michigan. And so I loved seeing Isaiah Livers in the hashtag not NCAA property t-shirt. It was really cool to see that. And I saw the billboards as well. Could you guys just tell us a little bit about that campaign?
Ashton, you got it.
Yeah. So, I mean, essentially, our business and what we're in the space, we're super, you know, in the name, image, and likeness space. And really what we wanted to do is, you know, stand with the athletes because we're super passionate about name, image, and likeness. We believe that they should be able to monetize their name, image, and likeness. And what better way to do that than support them on a bigger stage? We saw what movement they were doing and we wanted to amplify their voice to push that to the masses. And that's what we did. We commissioned a billboard. We put that hashtag in, you know, rear view of everybody that could see it. You know, the main people that were covered it, they got the chance to, you know, talk about it and see it. And we've seen some people talk about it on social media as well as some of the athletes. So we essentially, you know, reached our goal. We helped them, you know, push that movement forward. And, you know, continue to push that narrative that athletes should be able to monetize their name.
Yeah, pretty bold to have the billboard in Indianapolis. Love the out of home, we're not going to turn this into a startup marketing podcast, which I would love, but we can go through that later. But it's really interesting. So it's the not NCAA property. Obviously, the NCAA has come up a lot with their court case and they constantly come up. But this isn't just for NCAA athletes. NCAA is the biggest path with a lot of athletes and it can help kind of elevate their brands. But talk to us a little bit about how this could potentially be used by any athlete, regardless if they go into the NCAA or not, whether they go into, you know, Overtime Elite, the first, you know, professional high school basketball league, they go overseas. What's kind of the potential for this market outside of just the NCAA?
Yeah, and I'll say the thought is that we start with like a niche market and grow and expand. For myself, I'm previously working at Roc Nation and working through endorsement deals with different athletes. Understand that there's no means of validating why someone should be working with somebody, like data points as far as like, you know, percentages, you know, usage rate, match process, et cetera, et cetera. The thought is, you know, we start here and the audience grows with us. So why can't we work alongside an agent and an agency to validate who they want to pitch and say, you know, the APIs on Instagram align with your brand's, you know, performance and what you guys are looking to accomplish. So I think the possibility is endless. You think athletes are always being utilized to be amplified on any means, you know, no matter in the league or not. Like, look at Nate Robinson. The millions of impressions he garnered, you know, through Triller and just that whole boxing scenario. You want to work with somebody like that as well. You know, it doesn't have to be a professional athlete or amateur athlete. It could be any athlete.
So you're saying it could be maybe a 30-year-old washed-up hooper that plays pickup basketball across London, maybe make some content on the side.
I mean, Brian, you're selling yourself short. You're this close to a Nike deal, man. This close to a Nike deal.
Encourage him.
I had to slip that one in. But yeah, you know, all those pickup hoopers out there, you can monetize your name, image, likeness too. Nothing holding you back. I don't know if any brands want to work with us, but that's all right. Maybe for...
If you have the right audience, like I think is everyone's trying to reach certain audience. So if you have the right audience, I think we can find a brand that's trying to reach that. And that's kind of the goal is it's a brand trying to reach the audience of a 30-year-old pickup. You know, you just don't know who it is.
True.
You're going to help them. You connect with that person. That's the real value of that.
One of our favorite shows in the pandemic, Ted Lasso. He is working with Keely. Have you guys watched Ted Lasso? It's so good. It's a football, an American football coach goes and coaches or manages a Premier League team. Yeah. And he's asking the PR person for the Premier League team, like, if any brands are interested in sponsoring him, not just the players. And she's like, they said maybe an everyday man campaign, which is exactly what you just said, like the 30-year-old pickup market. But as you guys were doing this research with brands who probably aren't interested in 30-year-old pickup players, what were some of the key insights you found when you were working with both the athletes and the brands? Because I know you guys did a ton of research and interviews with different people as you were coming up with this concept. What were some of the key insights you found?
Yeah, I would say, like, from the brand standpoint, is we realized that they use tools currently to help them find and vet influencers. But it was really just a database, you know, so they could search names and things like that, but they didn't have anything that made them recommendations and that they could actually tell, like, these are the goals that we're trying to do. We actually even did it ourselves, where we worked with, you know, agencies and things of that nature as well. And they would just present us a list. And it's like, well, we have to go through these, you know, 100 people and then search up and look at their actual profiles. And then we have to see, like, is that our audience or not? Like, we don't know. And from the athlete standpoint, you know, they just literally said the same thing. It's just the time and how much they commit. And, like, we kind of looked at, like, what do they do from media commitment? So, like, even now, athletes still have to do, you know, take pictures and do all their social media and things of that nature. Yeah. And we were looking at, like, how does that fit within our schedule? And, like, how can we kind of mirror that to what we could do for endorsements? So what are the things they need, whether it's like a scheduling system, push notifications, if they need help with a post, like, how do we make recommendations for to make it as seamless and simple as possible so that we reduce the time that they have to commit to that? And most of them seemed very excited about this potential because of that, because of the fact that they were super excited. Everybody's like, yeah, I want to make money. But, like, when we asked them, like, well, how do you think it will work? No one really had an idea of how to do the best way to do it.
Yeah.
And we just wanted to figure out, like, how can we work with what their current schedule is and simplify it so that they can actually monetize and not, you know, be overwhelmed.
Yeah. I mean, on the brand side, it is really hard to find influencers that match you. And it's like, There's not really a lot of good lists out there. There's not a lot that you have to, like, pay. I mean, there's obviously going to be paywalls for things, but there's a lot of the search platforms for influencers are really hard to navigate. Yeah. And I mean, the individual platforms like TikTok has that creator marketplace, but that's only for TikTok. It's not for all the different social channels. So it's, I totally see that. I mean, the brands that we've talked to are like, all right, how do we get 100 basketball influencers that are based in the United States? Like, that is a very hard question for them to answer right now.
Yeah,
exactly. And we want to present that.
Yeah, definitely. Any questions on that, Skylar? How we can maybe search for a little Duchess of Hoops content when you get out there?
No, I'll just let you keep shilling yourself out to all our guests. I'll just take a back seat.
Yeah, I will sell out, just so everyone knows.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Skylar.
I think everyone knows, but that's okay. So what is the Mountain Dew's Real Change Opportunity Fund pitch competition? I saw that you guys got to talk with Lala Anthony, and I was very jealous and also very intimidated because I knew that we were talking to you very soon after.
You interviewed her.
Yeah, what was that like?
I think it was a great experience. You think, even if it's just a little bit of insight or just like recognition, you know, it all helps in building a startup. But to answer your question, Mountain Dew's Real Change Opportunity Fund was a pitch competition where they work alongside, well, they select a highly selected process. They said it was anywhere from about 600 to 800 applicants. Mm-hmm. They're looking for starting teams that have an HBCU alum, a part of it within the past 2 to 3 years, myself being a graduate of Florida A&M. They picked the most disruptive companies, people that they thought were making real changes in the actual society. And, you know, it was a pretty highly vetted process, you know, three different rounds. You apply, you interview, you get grilled, et cetera, et cetera. And then furthermore, we put our pitch in front of a few celebrity judges. Lala Anthony, as you guys stated, DJ Envy and some other like Mountain Dew executive, as well as the CEO of Blavity. So it was a great experience. Can't wait for everybody to check it out Wednesday, April 14th.
And so Wednesday, April 14th, what does that mean? You got to hype it up, Jared. You're on TV.
I mean, they select who wins. And another key point is something that a reason why we were very, very interested is because you win regardless as a finalist.
Yeah.
You receive a piece of $1 million kind of like just fund. And furthermore, however much we receive is donated back to our HBCU, myself going to FAMU.
Amazing.
I'm going to say it over and over again. I'm sorry.
Yes, no, keep doing it.
MSU, but however much we win, it goes back to FAMU. So it definitely feels good to, you know, donate back to my university at such an early age.
Yeah,
well, that's amazing.
What was the process like to become finalists? Did you go through interviews? Did they have VCs? Yeah. Like, what was that getting in there? Because, I mean, you guys will find with startups, there's endless pitch competitions, mm-hmm. endless events like this. So what was like getting to be a finalist?
Go ahead, Ashton.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, we went through three rounds of, vetting. We had an application, then we had two interviews, and then we had a pitch. I think the cool part, like talking to Lala, because we talked to her before our pitch as well as like a mentor, and she really related to what we're doing, because her son, which is Carmelo, Anthony's son as well, is starting amateur basketball. So he's starting high school this year. He's been playing AAU and he's becoming a brand himself, obviously. And she really understood that and had like a lot of great questions about, you know, her process of going through that as a parent with an amateur athlete that's becoming a brand every day that she know it, and was excited about the platform because she could see this being a value for something like him, you know, but also have great insights from things that we started to think about and implement is what does parent look like? What does that relationship look like, the parent, and how we can make that successful?
Yeah, I mean, imagine Carmelo, one of the greatest college careers of all time for one and done, winning the championship. If he could have done, he made zero money from that leading up to high school and into that Syracuse win. Man, that's unbelievable that you get the opportunity to talk to someone like Lala and see that family being built out. And then, so was the pitch like a Zoom? Were you on TV? Like, how did that work? And then where can people watch it on TV?
It was a Zoom.
That's so interesting. They're doing TV through Zooms now.
It's so 2020. Like, they sent out like a GoPro for us to do an initial B-roll, you know, for the contest. They sent out over like an iPhone, which we had to have in front of our computer, a MacBook to kind of like interview. And as we were reading off our actual like deck, we had to look exactly into the iPhone. So it was kind of like situation. But it was a virtual pitch, and it will be on BET, VH1, and YouTube. So it's definitely going to be great exposure. We're very thankful for the experience.
Well, good luck, guys. I mean, any exposure you can get like that early on in a startup is huge. Just surviving and getting noticed and getting that visibility. So best of luck, and we hope a lot of people tune in.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks so much.
Skylar, we have some big questions to finish this up with.
Yeah,
market-changing questions.
Big questions. How do you guys see the sports world changing and evolving as it becomes legal for student athletes to profit off of their name, image, and likeness? It's a big question.
That's a big one,
whoever
guys
wants to take it.
You want to start, Ashton?
So how do I see it changing?
Yeah.
I think it changes for the better, honestly. And I think it really affects a lot of people's livelihoods, and everyone doesn't have the opportunity to go pro, but I think everyone should have the opportunity to monetize their name. There's a lot of athletes that play in college sports. College sports is a $1 billion business. And I think it changed a lot of people's lives from underrepresented communities. And I think it in turn affects the communities that they come from because of that. So for me, I think it's a big positive change. I think it's going to be growing pains within anything. I think every sport has growing pains, but I think it would be a great, great opportunity.
Anything to add, Jared?
Yeah, something I want to say is something that we get asked, like, what does this do to the college landscape? Man, looking at the multi-$100 million industry that is NCAA, we're not asking to take any money from that. We're just asking some players to get their fair share of the pie. If you take a look at our socials, we're going on different platforms and looking to figure out with their engagement rate and with their follower count, how much they can make per post. It's, I don't want to say it's minuscule, but it's pennies on the dollar to what the collegiate, you know, programs are making. We're asking that they get their fair share. They be a part of these platforms. They sell their merch. They sell their NFTs. Yeah. You know, they should be able to make money off of everyone. But to Ash's point, it's going to change their lives. It's going to change their communities. They can give back. They can bring up the next person throughout the generation. You know, and if they don't go pro, they still have something that they could kind of like pivot to. You know, as they kind of just continue to grow, foster, and develop.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I think that's what I'm excited about is just seeing how this can affect the athletes who aren't maybe like the stars either. You know, like we hear about college basketball, like what percentage of high school players make it to college basketball, then what percentage of college basketball players make it to the NBA, and they're such tiny percentages. And then I think about like on Michigan, there's a guy named Adrian Nunez who I've only seen him play like maybe once or twice. Like he doesn't really play. Yeah. But he's like top 10 in followers on social within within college athletes. So it's going to be really cool to see the way it affects the players who are kind of, you know, they're not going to make it to the next level and how that's going to affect them. It's going to be really cool.
It also just shuts off learning opportunities. Like if you're a freshman in college and you get the opportunity to work with brands and figure out kind of how to launch your merch lines and set up your social channels, like that's really good entrepreneurship training that, you know, we have in Venture for America, and we're lucky enough to have that community, but they're just literally not allowed to even do that, which shuts off a lot of interest. Like NFTs, are they really into NFTs? Are they really into, you know, their TikTok dances? Are they into like, maybe they want to do training or coaching and they do that through their different platforms. So I think it also opens up that kind of the world of entrepreneurship and starting businesses or starting those kind of revenue streams early on in their careers. Which they just aren't even allowed to do right now, which is tough.
100%.
Last question.
All the marks.
Yes. I mean, we love this stuff. And so I guess if, you know, as name, image, and likeness becomes legalized, or the different states pass this, what advice do you have to athletes in high school who are kind of growing in, who want to have their NCAA career? How do you think they can set themselves up to take advantage of this? And, you know, what advice do you have for these athletes?
You gonna go Ashton first?
Cast Tech.
That's a great question, by the way.
Oh, you said how do you think? Repeat the question. I want to answer. Good.
All right. So you have Cast Tech, which one of the top schools in Detroit. You've got some incredible athletes there. A lot of hype in Detroit when I was living there for Cast Tech athletes. What would you tell those athletes now on how they can build their social profiles, launch different, you know, initiatives, merch lines? How do you think high school athletes can set themselves up best, knowing that they can actually monetize their name, image, likeness going into college?
Yeah, actually, and I was recently talking to an athlete about that. I think the biggest thing is to be active and be true to yourself and find your interest and audience, because I think every athlete is different, and that's what makes them interesting, is them being who they are. So don't try to be anybody else. Try to be yourself. You know, we had an athlete at Michigan State who just loved his dogs. You know, and he just was in love with his dogs, but he had a million followers because that resonated with a lot of people. And that's an audience that people want to market to, because people love their pets. So I think being authentic and finding what's true to yourself and finding what you love will help you facilitate those partnerships that actually work.
That's great advice. Guys, you don't have to borrow from other people. You don't have to try to just be the fitness influencer on Instagram or whatever. You can totally be your own. And I love the dog example.
Perfect. I'll say too, to Ash's point, be authentic, be organic, but tell some stories. You know, that's what the most successful people on social do. You know, they tell stories. Tell your story. Separate yourself from the competitor. You know, tell your story to a recruiter. Tell your story to a brand. Tell your story to, you know, a future fan. You know, just push content. That's what I say.
Yeah. Any other questions, Skylar, as we wrap this up?
No, I think this is such a cool and interesting conversation. And it's really cool to be able to talk to kind of the first people into a new space. It doesn't happen that often. It's really cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on, guys. We appreciate it.
No problem. Appreciate the time.